The Quest of Eric and Enid. Hello, this is Natasha. And this is the second part of our story about Eric, a knight of King Arthur's Round Table. But there is another person who is just as important to this story as Eric, and that is his bride, Enid. At the end of the first part, she married Eric and believed that they would both live happily ever after. Now we shall find out if they did. While Enid was still living with her father in proud poverty, she had a dream. She could see a candle-lit chapel deep inside a stone castle. A knight and a young maiden in a simple white dress kneeled, heads bowed, before the altar. The knight wore a silk tunic over his broad shoulders. On his heels were golden spurs. His face was not entirely clear to her, but the bride was Enid. It was a private, almost secret wedding, with only three or four of her husband-to-be's closest comrades in attendance. The priest asked if she promised to love, honour and obey her knight. And she cast down her eyes and said softly, "I do." In her dream, she could feel joy lifting in her heart at the certain knowledge that she would live happily ever after in the arms of her strong protector. And it happened in life, almost as in the dream. But it all happened so very fast. One day, a handsome knight did come to her father's house. There had been others before him, like Cameron the Bent Nose and Ferris the Iron Fist. Their manners were rough and they called her father vassal, which meant slave. The worst had been Parkin the Small. When Enid brought him his beer, he leered at her with yellow eyes. He said to her father, "Your daughter's a pretty one. I'll give you 2 gold coins for her." Her father ordered Enid stay at the convent until Parkin was gone. But the latest night was different. He treated her father, an old soldier, with great courtesy and asked him all about the battles he had taken part in. He praised the food and drink and happily ate the wood pigeon that her father had shot with his bow and arrow, and which Enid had plucked and prepared before roasting it over the fire. Then she rode behind him on his horse to Cardigan, where King Arthur was holding court. That evening they were wed inside the castle chapel. Her dream had come true. She was Lady Enid, wife of Sir Eric. And now she was beginning the rest of her life. Only she hadn't dreamed about what would happen next. The castle and the court were so strange. She might as well have been far away in a country where she knew not one word of the language. She had no idea what was expected of her. When to curtsy, when to hold out her hand to be kissed, and when to stay back in the shadows. Fortunately, there was always something going on at court to distract her. There was a tournament in which all the knights of the Round Table took part and fought each other. Enid sat next to Queen Guinevere to watch the knights on their broad war horses, their brightly painted shields, the fluttering banners, the ladies in beautiful dresses, the dust and the blood. The tournament was a chaotic melee. Quite frankly, it was a brawl in which knight fought knight almost at random. There was Sir Galahad swinging at Sir Lancelot with a ball and chain. The ball demolished Lancelot's shield into splinters, but fortunately did no damage to his skull before he could ride off. Queen Guinevere fanned herself with relief. Enid's eyes did not dare to leave her husband. When anyone came against him, she felt cold with terror on his behalf. But Eric's lance propelled many an attacker from the saddle of his horse. When at last he himself was dragged to the ground, he stood up and bashed his opponent over the helmet with the flat side of his sword. Enid thought he was the strongest and bravest knight in the world, and quite possibly she was right. The king declared that Eric was the outright winner. And suddenly Enid realised that everyone's eyes were directed to her as his lady. Her cheeks flushed, and that made her all the more radiant. Eric rode before her and held in the reins of his lively horse. Enid sat and gazed at her ideal knight. Guinevere elbowed her in the side and said, "Stand up, dear, and hold out your hand to your husband." She extended her hand, and Eric kissed it. The whole court cheered. "Eric and Enid! Eric and Enid, hurrah!" That evening, Eric and Enid sat together before the fire. The serving maid filled their silver goblets with sparkling wine from the vineyards of Devon. And Eric said to her, in a quiet, confidential voice, "I have spent 5 years here in Wales, in the service of King Arthur. I have fought in 12 battles, and more tournaments than I can count. That was all fine when I was alone, but this castle is no place for a delicate young girl. Very soon, my beauty, I shall take you away from this rough life, back to my father's Devonshire kingdom. There, you will find things are more comfortable." "Your father is a king?"
"Yes, my princess, he is a king. Second only in wealth and power to King Arthur."
On the morning of their leaving, Queen Guinevere embraced Enid and wished her the same happiness that she had found as Arthur's queen. Arthur presented Eric with a sword and scabbard studded with precious stones. To Enid, he gave 6 chests filled with gorgeously embroidered dresses and bed covers. Prince Eric and Princess Enid rode with 40 knights and 40 pages and serving girls. Their journey to Devon took 5 days, but as they approached Eric's home, word reached his old father that his son was on his way back from his service to King Arthur and that he was bringing with him a bride of radiant beauty. The king said, "My prayers are answered. Thanks be to God that I have lived long enough to see Eric's safe return." He ordered that the way be prepared for them. The hooves of Eric and Enid's horses trod over silks and tapestries strewn over the road. As they passed through the city, clouds of blossom rained down on them from the high windows. The church bells rang out, and doves were released from towers. The people marvelled at the finest couple they had ever laid eyes on. The only creature who didn't seem to approve was a large dog who ran behind Enid's pony and barked at the top of his voice. The pony took fright and kicked back with its hind hoof, but instead of hitting the dog, he kicked an old man who was standing in the crowd. Eric jumped down from his saddle. The prince helped the old man to his feet and asked him if any of his bones had been broken. Enid almost cried because her husband was so kind. Inside the keep of the castle, the king and Eric's 6 brothers and sisters all embraced him in turns. The younger sister, whose name was Ethel the Fair, took Enid by the arm and told her, "I thought that Eric would never find a beauty to match his own good looks, but now I see that he has indeed found a worthy match." Now Enid began the life of a princess. Every day a duke or an ambassador or a family member brought her a new present. but it was her husband who outdid all others in generosity. She had jewels, dresses, perfumes, ingenious toys, dogs, hamsters, sweet birds singing. In the evening, there were dances, music and games. In the morning, she lay by Eric's side until they rose at noon. In the afternoon, there were walks through beautiful gardens, bathing in the spa, and gentle pony rides across the hills. But the sweetness of all these pleasures was that Eric was always at her service. He was indeed her ideal knight, but he was so perfect that it was perhaps just a little bit frustrating at times. She tested his patience. When they were due to go out riding, she kept him waiting for an hour while she dressed. Another time she told him to go back and change because his grey tunic did not suit him. But not once did she provoke a single scowl or reproach from him. Yes, perhaps he was too perfect. He never wanted to leave her side. When there was a tournament, he did not take part himself, but equipped his 10 finest knights to fight in his palace, and instead spent the time with her. He rarely went out hunting. He did not go looking for dragons to slay. All his thoughts were of love, not war. And people began to talk. Enid heard it first from the servant who was preparing her headdress. She asked her what Eric had been like when he was a boy. "Oh, quite different, my lady," she replied. "Before he was married, he was much more interested in manly things like swords and javelins. Now it seems that he only has thoughts for you, my lady." Somehow, this answer did not quite please Enid. She wondered if it was a good thing that her husband should be entirely devoted to her. She spoke to Eric's sister, who said that yes, she too had heard talk of how her brother had given up the life of a knight. The people were comparing him to Paris, the Trojan prince, who lay all day with Helen while the war raged around the walls of Troy. Even his brothers were growing impatient with him. Though at first she made no mention of her worries to her husband. At last, one summer morning, as Enid lay by her sleeping husband's side, she began to weep and lament softly. "Am I the cause, I the poor cause that men reproach you saying all your force is gone? I am the cause because I dare not speak and tell him what I think and what they say, and yet I hate that he should linger here. I cannot love my lord and not his name, and yet not dare to tell him what I think and how men slur him, saying all his force is melted into mere effeminacy. Oh me, I fear that I am no true wife." And as she wept, her tears fell onto Eric's chest and face and awoke him. But his head was still fogged by sleep. He half heard her words and understood only a gist of what she said. In this state of semi-awakenedness, he felt angry and betrayed that his wife should reproach him for growing soft and weak. Why, if it was not for him, she would still be a poor girl with a single white dress. He had made her a princess and his future queen, and this was all the thanks he received. Right through his body, he felt a sharp pang that hurt far more than any wound he had received in combat. He hurled his huge body out of the bed and turned and spoke to her in a rage. "Why, you think I grow soft, do you? You long for a life of battles and hard blows, do you? Well, make yourself ready, for we are setting out on a quest, you and I, and you shall learn the true meaning of your foolish words." An hour later, Eric was dressed in full armour on his war horse. Under his arm he held a long, sturdy lance. Enid sat on her pony. In her heart, she deeply regretted her words. "Why did I speak so?" she asked herself. "I had every happiness, and now I have lost it all through my foolishness." Eric and Enid rode out into the moors. At first light, rain fell down from the sky as softly as Enid's tears. And then the air became filled with mist, and she could hardly see the ground in front of her pony's feet. Eric and Enid rode on, pursuing their quest. But a quest for what? Enid had no idea what her husband sought or what dangers and challenges they would meet on the way. But she knew that they had left their life of pleasure behind them. And that's the second part of our story. Bertie has asked me to say that Enid's lament, in which she spoke softly to her husband Eric, was a famous poem by Tennyson. I'll be back soon with the next instalment, in which we will find out what happened next in Eric and Enid's journey through life. In the meantime, there are loads more stories at storynori.com, so drop by soon and listen to some. For now, from me, Natasha. Bye-bye!